listen to that.
Yeah. Tomorrow night, the Chicago Blues Festival will welcome a great slate of musicians, but none of them quite compare to my next guest, at least in my eyes. Heading tomorrow night, headlining Fred Wesley and the New JBs. Wesley is a music director, a band leader, and a trombonist. He's credited with bringing that funky horn sound that you hear right here to this country into the 60s and 70s and beyond. Wesley led the JBs, James Brown's famous band, alongside Maceo Parker, Pee Wee Ellis, and others. Wesley helped write and perform American classics like Give Me Some More, Pass the Peas, You Can Have Watergate, Just Give Me Some Bucks and I'll Be Straight. Oh, man, I've been listening to all these songs all day long. When the JBs disbanded in the late 70s, Wesley moved on to make legendary music with George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic. And why not throw in Count Basie, the Count Basie Band, for measure, right?
That's right, yeah.
And add his solo work, now a new blues project. And Fred Wesley is a true American great, and he's my guest tonight on The Download. For Mr. Wesley, thanks so much for being my guest. I can't thank you, man.
Thank you so much for having me, you know? I'm glad to be in Chicago.
I just said, you know, do you recall coming back to Chicago? Talk about your experiences with this town, because James Brown, the JBs, you guys come through here.
Well, you know, James Brown came through here, and I was with him from 69 all the way through 74. We came here a number of times at the Auditorium Theater. Is the Auditorium Theater still here?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we used to play the Auditorium Theater.
That's a huge room.
And then I came through here. I know we did Parliament Funkadelic with the Earth Tour. It was when the spaceship landed on stage, you know, at
sure.
Soldier Field. It was a big deal.
What is,
you know?
I mean, you think about those times. I mean, and it's been we're talking decades now. But I mean, when you think back to those times at the Auditorium Theater, or coming through with James Brown's band, or landing the spaceship at Soldier Field, those are great. I mean, those are historic memories in music.
Yeah,
and you
were
involved in them.
And it was a big deal too, a great thing. Then I came through here again in 1978 with Count Basie. We played Park West. Is Park West still there?
Still here? Yeah.
Yeah, we played over at Park West with Sarah Vaughan and some other singers, but the Count Basie band played it. So I've been in Chicago a lot. Chicago's like another home for me, you know.
Why don't we start at the beginning? What drew you to the trombone?
Oh. Well, you know, I was taking trumpet lessons and saxophone lessons, and I've been taking piano lessons from age three. My grandmother was a piano teacher, and my father had a big band. And one day his lead trombone player quit the band, so he needed a trombone player. So he told me, say, if you learn how to play this trombone by the end of the summer, you can be in the band. I'm 12 years old, you know. And so I was thrilled, because I always wanted to play in his band. You know, I used to set the stands up for the band when they rehearsed and clean out the ashtrays, you know. And, you know, I always wanted to be in the band. He told me I could be in the band one day. I thought maybe I'd be in the band on trumpet or saxophone or something like that, you know. I didn't want to play piano, because he played piano, you know. And but he needed a trombone player, so he got me a trombone, and I practiced on that horn all day, every day under a tree.
How hard is that instrument? I mean, the trombone is a difficult instrument to master.
It's difficult. It's not much more different from other instruments. All instruments are difficult to master, because it's not a natural thing, you know.
Yeah.
But trombone was kind of different for me, you know. I knew how to play it without knowing exactly how to play it. You know, I didn't know how to, I knew how to finger the trumpet and finger the saxophone, but trombone had a slide. You know, you had to hit those notes exactly right on the slide. So I learned how to play the trombone, and sure enough, my father let me play in his band. And I was the third trombone player in my father's band. And a trombone player led to other gigs. I played blues with Charles Lott's band in Mobile, and some jazz with Joe Louis' band. And I just stuck with trombone.
You know, making that transition from that music, from blues and to jazz, and playing in your dad's band, big band, when did the transition happen where you sort of got funky with it, where you started to think about the trombone in the way that we know it in the JBs and James Brown?
You know, I played with Ike and Tina Turner. I got a gig with Ike and Tina Turner back in, I think, 61 or 62. And Ike had a trumpet player named Mac Johnson that played a funky solo on a record Can't Sit Down. You remember Can't Sit Down by Phil Upchurch? No, you don't know that. Phil Upchurch had a record.
I'll look it up.
You Can't Sit Down. And Mac Johnson played a funky solo on it. So that started me to thinking maybe I could play funk on a trombone, you know. So from that, I was playing with Ike and Tina Turner, so I used to play some funky solos with the band, you know. And it went on. When I got off the band, I played with Hank Ballard and the Midnighters. I played more funky solos. And, of course, with James Brown, he found out I could play some funk on trombone. That really excited him because, Maceo was the man at first. So he thought he had somebody he could play against Maceo, you know. James Brown would like that. You know?
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll pick back up with James Brown and the JBs. Such great music. Fred Wesley in studio with me. Fred Wesley and the new JBs are headlining at the Chicago Blues Festival tomorrow night. He's my guest tonight at the big table. Stay with us. This is the best trombone in music. Do you listen back to your stuff? And
yeah, I do. I do.
When you hear that, especially that.
I laugh, you know. Because at the time, I said, James Brown must be crazy. He want me to slide up to a note like that, you know. But I did it, you know. That's what James Brown liked about me. I would do anything that he said to do. He would come up with the wildest stuff in the world to do, and I would do it.
That's probably the first time a lot of mainstream Americans, I mean, for James Brown to be much more pop and funk than some of the jazz stuff. But it's the first time that American audiences were introduced, mainstream audience introduced to the trombone. That slide.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a big deal, you know, and James Brown kind of played off of that too. You know, he had a trombone player that could play funk, that could play jazz too, you know. And because I used to play some jazz solo. If you check out the Lost album, Fred, the JBs and Fred Wesley, it's got a lot of jazz on it too. You know, we did a album with Michael Brecker and Randy Brecker, and Dave Matthews did all the arranging on it, you know. And it was a album that was done, but it was put on the shelf until 2 years ago, and they put it out. They finally put it out 2 years ago.
We're talking with Fred Wesley. He's a trombone player, band leader, music director for the ages, Hall of Fame musician who was the leader of the JBs. He now has Fred Wesley and the new JBs, which are at the Blues Festival tomorrow night. Fred, what I'm interested in is, you know, you were playing such great funk music with James Brown, and there was a point when the JBs became Fred Wesley's JBs. Talk about the transition from just being a trombone player in the James Brown band to leading that band.
Well, you know, James Brown wanted to reward me, I guess, for being a loyal side man, you know, because I kind of relished the fact that I was the greatest side man ever.
You know,
I was side man with Ike and Tina Turner, Hank Ballard and Midnighters, with B.B. King and Ray Charles, and with James Brown. So James Brown was going to reward me. He tried to make me a star, but I couldn't do it because I just didn't have the hairstyle for it. And I didn't have the wardrobe for it, you know.
I saw some of the old pictures today. I think you did.
I tried. But I didn't have the temperament for it either. You know, I just wasn't a star type person. But he said he would give me the JB. So he put my name on Gonna Have a Funky Good Time, you know, Fred Wesley and the JBs. Mm-hmm. And from then on, you know, we did three other albums behind that, you know. So
some of the best music ever recorded.
You know, so I became a minor star, you know, but with Fred Wesley and the JBs. So it was Fred Wesley and James Brown, so to speak.
You mentioned Sideman, and you write an autobiography in Sideman. Talk about what does that mean? What does Sideman mean? For someone who doesn't know music that well, talk about the idea of the Sideman.
Well, you know, a Sideman is like, they're very crucial to a star and to a band, really, because a Sideman has to be in place all the time, and I had to do his job all the time, or else the star kind of just flaps around in the wind. You know, you need a whole band full of good side men, which James Brown had. He had a band, he had Jimmy Nolan, Country Kellum, Jabbo, Clyde Stubblefield, Maceo Parker. He had a whole band full of great side men, you know, that could do what he said, when he said it, and how he wanted it to be done, mm-hmm. so he could do his thing, you know. So that's what a sideman does.
What happened to the sideman? Because now with a lot of musicians, the sideman disappears. I mean, maybe they'll have a full band on stage, but they're definitely not being credited the way that the JBs were back in the late 60s.
Well, you know, with music today, you can make an album in your bedroom, you know. You could just use the machine, the synthesizers and the drum machines and all the effects and things. You can do the vocals. You can do the vocals in your bedroom, make a whole album. You know, people do that. Mm-hmm. So it's changed, you know. But in our day, you had to have a band that would do what you said, how you wanted to do in order for you to do your thing, you know.
When your relationship with James Brown, so you mentioned a couple times like he really wanted, he'd push you, he'd want to give you credit, gave you credit for your loyalty, but he also was taking risks with the music. What was your relationship like with James Brown?
It was a learning experience, you know, and it was speaking of taking risk, when he would take a risk, he would make me take a risk too, and you know that's why I was good for him, because I would relish taking a risk with James Brown. If he would say, use a flute on this play, on this tune, or use a harp here, or give me a big band here, you know, I would do it. I would do it. I would do anything that he said do.
You trusted him.
I mean, he was kind of a visionary.
Yeah.
He trusted me, you know. And we worked real good together to a point. I mean, you know, he would wake me up in the middle of the night. I didn't like that, you know. He would make me stay up late, I didn't like that. But basically, I would do whatever he told me to do, as long as I could do it, you know. But he came to a point where he wanted me to copy people, and I drew the line.
I said,
I'm not doing that.
Well, I was going to ask about, you know, there's something special about that relationship, and there's a sort of shorthanded language. I mean, talk about your language with James Brown. You guys, I mean, even on the records, when I was listening to all the songs today, there's just a shorthand vocabulary.
Yeah.
You know, he's shouting out to you guys in the middle of the song.
Right. And that's where a good sideman comes in. See, we all knew what those shouts meant, you know. We all knew what those moves he made. We all knew what they meant because we were good sidemen. And I was the head leader of that, you know. Any move he made, any utterance that he came out of his mouth, we would know what it meant, or made out like we know what it meant.
You know? Good performers, right.
Good performers. And he had to have that. He had to have that. Could you imagine James Brown without his band? He'd just be a guy skittering around
the
stage.
Well, I mean, there was such energy that he would toss around the stage.
Yeah.
So he would toss it to you, you know, like we just heard in the beginning.
And you had to be ready.
Yeah, you'd be ready for it. Yeah, but there was a lot of borrowing from old types of music, gospel music, call and response. There was a lot going on with the JBs and James Brown that even today has never been replicated.
That's true. And he would not only throw it to me, he would throw it to Pee Wee or to Maceo. And everybody, when it was hit your time to play, you don't know when it's going to come, you know, but you had to be ready. And you had to play. You had to perform. Or you would be out of the band, so to speak, you know.
You mentioned a little bit earlier Maceo Parker, because you guys were kind of, you know, sort of put together to sort of almost compete with each other on stage. What's your relationship like with Maceo Parker? Because another one is just a tremendous member
Maceo
of the KBs.
Maceo is a star. You see, he's a star. He knows how to take over an audience and how to make an audience groove. You know, I never got that. You know, but Maceo was more of a star than I was. You know, he could play funk anytime you call him up, he'll play anything. But he also knew how to get an audience going. You know, I can get an audience going with the music, but I can't just stand there and just say, hit me, and you know, like that. He was almost like James Brown.
Yeah.
He was very much like James Brown. He could get an audience fired up in a minute, and he would do it for 3 and 4 hours, you know. So, you know, Maceo is my idol. A lot of times anything I do, I ask myself, what would Maceo do right here, you know? And I would try to do it, you know, the best I could. But Maceo is a star. He is a star.
From here on out, I'm going to ask myself, what would Fred Wesley do? After today, I said, my life has changed. I was today with this hot weather, and I was riding around. I had the windows down. I had your music going. I just felt like I was like I was the mayor of Chicago.
Well, I would do what Maceo did.
Okay, good. Believe me, you know. Fred Wesley in the new JBs are the headliner at the Chicago Blues Festival tomorrow. Of course, Fred Wesley, the music director, band leader, trombonist with the JBs, with James Brown, and with Count Basie, right, and with George Clinton. And we'll talk about your other projects when we come back here after the news. Fred Wesley in studio, my guest at the big table. Stay with us.
Gotta take you high.
How about that? It's so good. Fred Wesley in studio here on The Download. I'm Justin Kaufman. The legendary horn player, trombone player, music director, band leader for the JBs, Fred Wesley, JBs. Played with James Brown, George Clinton, Count Basie, Ray Charles, Ike and Tina Turner. The list goes on and on. And I mean, it's amazing how many artists that you've been sideman for. Fred Wesley in studio. He's my guest tonight at the big table. He is the headliner tomorrow night at the Chicago Blues Festival here in Grant Park. I mean, we're really, it's unbelievable to be able to hear that music. I mean, that music is just, I can't get over the fact that that is some of the best music that's ever created. And then, you know, as the JBs kind of I guess the word is disband, right? In the mid to late 70s?
It didn't disband. It kind of petered out, you know. The band changed from my band to the next band. They still call the band the James Brown Generals, I think. I don't know, but it just kind of changed.
Why did you leave? Know?
Well, you know, James Brown wanted me to copy somebody.
Oh, that's
he wanted me to copy Freddie Mercury and some other people, you know, I didn't think he should do that. You know, he was famous for making up his own music, right, you know, and he had run out, you know, so he wanted to go copy some people, and I just couldn't do that. Plus, I was just tired of being on call 24 hours a day, you know. It was just too much pressure for me, you know. It was all I could take. So
at the breaking point as a musician, I mean, what do you do at that point? Because obviously you moved on to do your own stuff. You moved on to work with George Clinton. But talk about that moment in your career.
I got lucky. You know, it happened at a time I was prepared to just go to California and just be a session musician, you know. But George Clinton and Bootsy Collins is the one that told me he was going to come back and get me from James Brown. You know, I said, yeah, sure, you know. But I went straight from James Brown to the George Clinton family, you know. And he gave me more opportunity to just do some good horn parts, you know. So I continued to experiment. This time I only had to do horns because Boosie was doing the rhythm tracks and he was doing the vocals, you know. All I had to do was horn. George said, just give me some bad horns, you know. So I did. And I did horns as spectacular as I could, you know. And he would use some of them and not use some, but he was happy and I was happy. And we spent two really good years together.
So What was the transition like for you to go to work to working for years for James Brown and the way that you just mentioned in the last segment about how he would control things to working with another famous band leader in George Clinton? Was it similar or was it different?
The pressure was off. You know, I didn't have any pressure on me because I would just do stuff the way I wanted to do it, and George wouldn't say anything. He would just use it or not use it. You know, but at the same time, he would use most of it, and
there's greenhorns on those tracks.
I was getting a wealth of experience, you know, and having a lot of fun too, you know, because George Clinton had a relaxed atmosphere around the show, you know, even with the ship landing on stage, it was still a relaxed kind of a fun endeavor, you know. We just played anything we wanted to play, and he would use it or not use it. And we were doing Boosie's Rubber Band, and Boosie had a great show. You know, you should see that film that's out now with Boosie and Halloween in Houston, Texas, 1976. It was a great show, you know, and all the shows were like that. So we were having fun.
For you, know? I mean, coming from such, I mean, a tremendous stage show with James Brown.
Yeah.
But it was a straight ahead kind of, you know, funk, rhythm and blues show where it was to a spaceship landing on stage at Soldier Field. I mean, for you as a musician, who were you kind of head scratching or were you just kind of in the zone?
I was just in the zone. I was just doing my part, you know, because with James Brown, I had to be the leader. James told me, he said, anything that happens on this stage, you are responsible for it. See, that's a lot of pressure you put on a man. And to all of a sudden have that pressure taken off and they just say, just do this.
There's 28 people on stage.
Right. Just do what you do, you know. That was like
were you at
paradise
all, was it,
to me.
Was it
know?
Difficult for you at all because you had come from such a strict environment?
It was easy. It was easy. All I had to do was
You weren't frustrated by it? Like you didn't? You,
no.
No.
No, I did whatever I wanted to do, you know. And George Clinton would even say, you know, I'm doing an album with George now, you know. It's a resurgence of the Parliament, you know. I won't talk about that because I let him talk about that. But, you know, George is great to work for because he doesn't dictate what you do. He just wants you to do, and then he would use it or not use it, you know. But he knows what he wants, and he knows who he wants to do it.
Now, you know, we mentioned, you know, Parliament and Funkadelic, obviously, and Bootsy Collins and everything. But the other band that you worked with as well in the 70s was the Count Basie Orchestra. Now, that's a famed jazz band. That's a formal kind of band. Talk about why you joined that band and what took you out of sort of, you know, funk music.
Well, I always wanted to play with Count Basie. And the opportunity came up. Waymon Reed, a trumpet player, the same trumpet player that introduced me to James Brown, was now playing with Count Basie, and he introduced me to Count Basie. And I wasn't kind of temperamentally set to play with Count Basie, but as I always did, if I'm offered a gig, I take it, and I'll stay there until long as you let me, you know. So it was kind of rough at first. But
It rough? Just because you were playing a certain it was a different kind of music.
Different kind of music, you know. With Bootsy and George Clinton, I would play as loud as I could, as long as I could, you know. But with Count Basie, you had to play your part, and you had to play soft sometimes.
Very precise, right?
Precise with things, but it was a really strong swing groove, you know. And it took me a minute to get into that, but I did, and it was the best gig I ever had. Because it's from childhood, I always wanted to play with Count Basie's band. Not much soloing. I played a couple of solos, and I did a recording with three recordings with Count Basie. But it was a relaxed kind of a thing after I got into it, and I had to even change the way I dress.
Right. I've seen those pictures.
You know, go from crazy clothes to a suit and a tie, you know. And the guys in the band were just wonderful to me. And, you know, I had a great time with Count Basie's band.
Well, I mean, one of the great things about your career is your ability to, as a trombone player, as a horn player, to be able to cross over to different mediums, yeah, to different disciplines, you know, to play in James Brown, which is it's a rhythm and blues kind of to a George Clinton I'm just gonna almost like a free form jazz, if you will, for free form funk, to a more traditional jazz sound. I mean, for you, was that part of the goal? I mean, did you want to take on different?
This opportunity to present itself to me, you know. In fact, I've done a few albums of my own. I did one straight ahead jazz album, and it's called To Someone. But now that I've done some funky jazz albums, some funky jazz album, and one album that I'm selling now is called Full Circle, Bebop to Hip Hop. And it has a bebop on it, and it has a hip hop on it. So it's like a full circle.
Yeah.
But now what I'm trying to do now is a blues album. I'm gonna do a blues album that would feature some old blues, you know, some Muddy Water Blues, Cotton Blues, blues from way back, you know.
Well, let's
but I'm gonna do it with a big band sound.
Let's talk about. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll wrap up, and we'll talk about the Blues Festival, because you being here, that's part of you being the headliner at the Blues Festival. Fred Wesley and the New JBs are on stage tomorrow night at the Chicago Blues Festival. Fred Wesley, of course, one of the greatest trombone players in the history of the world. We'll continue our conversation with Fred when we return. Right. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, the great Fred Wesley. Fred Wesley and the JBs, of course, James Brown's band. Also George Clinton, also Count Basie, also Ray Charles, also everybody who ever played music. Fred Wesley. All right, so you're at the Blues Festival. You mentioned, you know, that you want to get into the blues. You want to make blues music. What's your relationship to the blues? Because at the beginning of the interview, you talked about how you started out playing a little bit of blues.
Yeah, you know, the first thing I ever heard was blues and country and western, because I was born in the country in Georgia, and I first saw the light in Mobile, Alabama, and that's a big blues country, you know. So I just wanted to go back to my roots and play some blues, you know. But with my experience with James Brown and with Parliament Funkadelic, mm-hmm, and with Count Basie, all the experiences that I've had before kind of incorporate that
into... it's an energetic kind of funky blues.
Kind of funky and kind of jazzy too, you know. Mm-hmm. All of this would be incorporated into this album, you know. But we have to get the money for it. Nobody has stepped up to the plate yet, so we're asking for donations from.
So is that what you're doing? You're gonna crowdsource the record. You're going to try and get money to make a Fred Wesley record.
Exactly.
I need to take a deep breath. People are not lining up to give Fred Wesley.
Well, not yet. Not yet. But We are campaigning to get finances for the record. Nobody actually, there's no market for this music, you know. But we're going to do it. We're going to do this music.
It's hard for me to fathom that the band leader of the JBs and a guy who's played with the band, all the people that we mentioned, doesn't have the kind of fanfare. I know that you tour, and you tour a lot in Europe.
Yes.
Talk about that. In Europe, they recognize the contributions you've made to music.
Yeah, I think because of we are a foreign entity that makes us more attractive to European people more so than American people. You know, America, this is home, so we just pass it over. You know, we into what's happening now, hip hop and pop music, the Taylor Swift's and the Beyoncé's and the Michael Jackson, you know. But that's okay. But there is a market for what we do, a little market in America and a big market in Europe. Not a big market, but a bigger market, you know.
One that can sustain a tour.
Yeah, so we are... go where they want us, and there are a few people. I say jokingly, I have 2,500 fans over the world, so I'm gonna try to entertain each one of them, you know. But I'm very honored to be here in Chicago, because this is the birthplace of the blues, and I think that this is a good place for me to start my blues album, you know. So we be selling CDs and my book, and I'll be autographing
right.
them. We're going to have a meet and greet at the Kids Pavilion tomorrow. Where is it?
It'll be down in Grand Park.
Yeah, down in Grand Park.
You can find the
it's
Kids
a Kids Pavilion there.
Yeah.
And we're going to be there from 6 to 7 selling these things. And
meeting the fans, yeah.
I want to see all 2,500 of them.
Well, Fred, I'm interested. You know, obviously, you know, you've had such a tremendous career, and it spans over so many decades. I mean, we're talking about you're talking Ike and Tina Turner in the early 60s and even performing jazz, blues, and then when your dad's band in the 50s.
Yeah.
I mean, is there a time when you stop playing, when you stop the touring and you retire from music?
Not really. Because even when I slowed down, I was in L.A. doing sessions. I did sessions with just about everybody you can think of, except Stevie Wonder.
Why not Stevie Wonder?
Because I never did. But I've always wanted to play with Stevie. I never had opportunity. But
really?
I did
of all
session.
Those names, really.
I did session with just about everybody else, you know. And so I never stopped. I stopped touring and I stopped recording. But I did do sessions on a regular basis. I even had an African client that I did some albums for, you know. But I never stopped. And I started back in 88 to 90. That's when Maceo and Bobby Bird came to me and said that Pass the Peas was a hit again in London, you know. So I had to relearn Pass the Peas
<That's>
and
amazing.
Give me some more and all that stuff, you know.
You know, those songs, Pass the Peas, Give Me Some More, Watergate, Monorail, like all the songs we've been playing through the breaks and even the stuff with that we've talked about outside of that. I mean, do you think back on the mark that you've made on American music? I mean, do you think about at all when you reflect on your career about how much that music has impacted this country?
More and more. I realize it, you know. At first, because I had forgotten about what I did with James Brown, you know, for all during the 80s, I didn't even think about what was happening, you know. And in fact, I even did a straight ahead jazz album in 1988, you know. But now that I hear music and people talk to me about music, like yourself, I realize what impact I have had on American music, on music in general, you know, and I'm very gratified to know that I have left a mark, you know. If I go pass away tomorrow, I feel like I have left an impact on the music industry.
Fred Wesley is the band leader, music director, and trombonist for the Ages. I mean, you've the man behind the JB's, James Brown's band. Is going to be with the new JBs.
Yeah.
Fred Wesley and the new JBs at the Chicago Blues Festival tomorrow night, headlining.
Right.
It was my pleasure to have you here, and you're such a tremendous musician, and you have made a mark, and I appreciate you taking some time out to talk to us tonight.
Thank you very much for having me.
Wow. I forgot to ask him if he would play trombone with you, Rob.
Well, no, I just want to listen.
That's amazing. I mean, every song that Pete bumped in with, I was like, oh, man. And to be able to play, I mean, I'm a little bit emotional in the way that you, like, play part of Watergate in that slide, that, you know, and he comes in with that. And for him to be talking about it while it's playing, that's like a radio moment for me.